Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to the Dr. Nina Show with Dr. Nina Savelle Rockland, only on LA Talk Radio.
Hey there, welcome to the Dr. Nina Show. I'm Dr. Nina Savelle Rockland. I'm a psychoanalyst specializing in food, weight, and body image issues, and I'm here to help you lose weight without dieting. That means no more counting calories or counting carbs, no more thinking about food all the time. It really is possible to lose weight and gain health all without ever going on another diet. So I am really excited today because I have a special guest here all the way from Australia. Christy Carney is a positive body image advocate and international speaker, and she's been in business with Women for Women for over 6 years, helping thousands of women have a positive body image. She is the proud mum. I got to say mum, not mom, because she's Australian and they say mum there. She is the proud mum of two beautiful boys, is married to the man of her dreams, Liam, who's also in the studio with us. Hello, Liam. And she runs a successful global business from home. But her life has not always been so positive. And today, she is going to share how through overcoming her body image battles, she's become the successful woman she is today. She's going to talk about how a positive body image has changed her life, both professionally and personally. And she talks about how to love the skin you are in. And actually, you can find her on Facebook, Love the Skin You Are In. Welcome, Christy.
Thank you.
It's great to have you here.
It is so good to be here.
So I know that you've traveled all the way from Australia to LA to be here today. Well, not just to be here. She's actually on vacation and she's stopping in on her way. But there's another journey that I think you want to really talk about today, which is your journey from feeling bad about yourself and really struggling with your body image and your self-esteem to being in a really different place now. Can you share how did you make that journey?
Well, unfortunately, it's a common journey that so many people don't actually recognize that they're either still on or lost in at the moment. And I'm so glad that I found my way out. I wasn't no longer lost. So many, many years ago, I'm 39 years young right now, and I'm in the best shape mentally and physically that I've been in my whole life. Growing up, I was an athlete, and you know, one side of my family was very competitive, would always be trying to compete with me, whereas the other side was very, very loving, but loving in a way that only some people would say was loving. They were very fixated on beauty. You could only be beautiful if you were slim and trim and athletic. So didn't mean any harm then, but as I grew older and wasn't so thin, trim and athletic, it started to play on my mind because I'd been told all those years that you're beautiful if you're that you're slim or athletic. And I started going down a path where I wasn't so thin and athletic. And so in my mind, without even being told it, I'm unattractive, I'm ugly, I'm disgusting. Mm-hmm. I'm not of value. You know, anything that I say or do is not of value to anybody, including myself. And I went down quite a self-destructive path. I was attracting all of the wrong people in a relationship, both friendships and, you know, men as well in relationships.
Well, when you don't feel good about yourself and you're self-critical, someone who treats you badly seems like someone who knows you really well instead of, you know, a guy that you need to give the boot or
Absolutely.
Friends that are not a good fit.
No, so. And I was like a walking doormat for men and women. And I didn't know that I was. It was just because I felt that I was not worthy. You know, I deserved all of that. And I see it now and I'm like, oh my goodness, you know, wanted to slap myself around a little bit, but you didn't know it at the time. So I moved in life and met an amazing human being that unfortunately only had, I had 3 years with him before unfortunately he passed away. And again, I blamed myself that somehow his health issues was my fault and went down a very dark and self-destructive path that, you know, I would never find that again, that I didn't deserve it, that I was, you know, lucky to have found it when I did, and got so dark and destructive that I did try to end my life on more than one occasion. Clearly didn't do a good enough job because I am still here.
I'm glad you failed at that.
Yes, me too. I'm glad. But it was in that really dark time that I sort of literally my brain snapped and it was like, what are you doing? Is this serving you? Being miserable and aggressive and toxic and, if I can say the B word, a real bitch, not only to myself but to anybody. And it wasn't serving me in life in any which way, professionally or personally. So I went, well, okay, how can I expect somebody else to love me if I'm not even loving myself? So it was a facade for a while that, as any new habit, you know, if you write it, if you say it to yourself in the mirror, or if, you know, you are starting a new habit, you've got to have it in a routine and a repetitiveness and consistency for it to start to become true, right?
It's very hard to talk yourself into something that you don't believe or talk yourself out of something you believe. So, you know, I often tell people, look, it's great to love yourself, but if you don't love yourself, and maybe accepting yourself is also an initial kind of goal, like try to accept yourself on the way to loving yourself. But if you don't love yourself, figure out why. Why do you not love yourself? Through whose eyes are you viewing yourself?
Exactly.
Who are you identified with? And that, only by realizing why you can't love yourself or love your body or love any part of you, can you get on the path towards actually being able to do so.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And that was where you're in my mind. Because, yeah, I was like, okay, who has actually told me that I'm not worthy? Who has actually told me that I'm unattractive, that I'm not worthy of success or to be, you know, have a happy ever after relationship or a successful business? And it was everything around us, in the movies, in the newspapers, in the magazines, on television, just society, you know, at school. You were the cool kid if you were, you know, the top athlete, or, you know, a pretty person and things like that. Whereas,
and your family.
And your family,
which,
you know,
reinforced that. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And I know they meant well, but they didn't realize, because that's how they were raised. That's what they were brought up with. So I moved away from all of that and I stopped listening to other people and found me.
I love that. You stopped listening to other people and found you.
Yes, and my husband will say I don't often still listen to other people, including him, but it's good. It's a good thing, you know, and like attracts like, and I have an energy about me that, you know, pretty much people notice or can feel when I enter a room or have a conversation with. So I can't even think of the word right now, but it rubs off on people. You know, people want to know, how can they do that, or how can they be more like that? And it's listen to you and what your gut and your heart say, not what other people say.
Absolutely. And it's so much, you know, self confidence and self esteem really is an inside job. And, you know, there's this wonderful story that I heard, and I am choosing to believe that it's true. And it has to do with Marilyn Monroe at the height of her fame. So Marilyn Monroe is walking down Madison Avenue in New York with her friend. And nobody is paying attention. And her friend is like, oh my God, like, we are walking down a crowded New York street. You are the most famous woman in the world. I'm walking down the street with Marilyn Monroe and nobody is noticing. And Marilyn said, oh no, you're not walking down the street with Marilyn. you're with Norma Jean, which was her real name, her birth name, her real persona, I guess. She said, oh, you want to see Marilyn? And then, so now she's wearing the same things. She hasn't, you know, darted into a telephone book like Clark Kent and come out, woo! She just, like, changed her posture, and her Marilyn-ness just came out. And immediately they were mobbed. And I love that story because it really speaks to, it's not how you look. It is what you exude from within.
I love that story.
And I think that's what you're talking about.
Mm. Absolutely. Yeah. So sharing that with other people, you know, no matter what age, shape, or size you are, I think that your love for yourself, your self-love, starts with within. That you have to, you know, you can't judge a book by its cover. We are all created, not equal. We are all from all different backgrounds, all different body shapes and sizes. And we can be healthy in all of those different shapes and sizes. And I know growing up, majority of us were taught that if they're thin and trim, that they're healthy and they're happy. But to me, I think that if you're happy, you're healthy. You can't actually be unhappy and healthy because your body, it doesn't compute. It doesn't actually work together. Would you agree with that?
I do agree with that. And healthy is not a size, which is not to say, I think that a lot of times when you talk about the body positivity movement, one of the criticisms is, oh, you're condoning or promoting something unhealthy. And that is not, can you speak to that a little bit?
Well, I still get it all the time. I think every person out there is a work in progress. No person is perfect, whether they are goaling to a perfect size on the scales. To me, I actually don't even know what the scales say these days. It's how I feel in my clothes. And we were speaking before we went on air that size doesn't matter. And that means in the label of my clothes. In Australian sizing, I didn't research to see what size it is in American, but they can Google it if they like. But in my wardrobe, I have from size 12 through to size 20. And
they all fit the same
and
way.
And they all look great.
Yeah.
They all look great. And I feel great in them. Some people cut the sizes out. Honestly, I do not care. I can confidently say I do not care what the size of my clothing is. It's what I look like and how I feel when I look in the mirror and I look at the reflection and go, oh, that's fitting very good today. I like it. And I think this is one of the larger sizes in my wardrobe that I chose to wear today. And I'm rocking it.
She is. She is wearing a super cute, like super 1940s dress with red lipstick, and she's got red glasses. She's so cute. She's just adorable. And she looks good too. Mm-hmm. So many women and men tend to view their selves as their body. And this is something that I feel very passionate about. Getting people to consider that, like, what makes you you? You are not your body. You know, there is so much more to you than that. And if you don't feel good in your body, you're just not going to feel good in your life.
Absolutely.
And this weekend, as some people may know, I did the Avon 39 Walk for Breast Cancer, and there I was with, I don't know, it was either 2,000 or 3,000 people in Santa Barbara walking 39.3 miles over 2 days. And you know, it gives you real perspective because you're walking with survivors or people who are struggling with cancer, and there were so many incredible stories. And hey, you know, we're just lucky to have healthy bodies and to be breathing air. And at a certain point, you got to have perspective and just feel good about the fact that you're alive, you're a person on the planet, and you got to live your life and not exist it.
Life is too short. There is no point just existing in life. You've got to live it. You've got to take every opportunity, just like we met on Instagram, thanks to your dog.
Yes, Zane the Dane brought Christy and me together. Zane gets a lot of love on Instagram because he is the best dog in the world. But yes, we met on Instagram. That's the power of social media. Some people say, hey, social media is bad. It promotes, you know, bad ideals about body image and all of that. But it can also bring people together, and it can also promote body positivity. You know, I want to just open up to the listeners who might want to come and talk with you. So if you're listening and you'd like to talk with Christy, the number is 818-602-4929. Again, 818-602-4929. Any questions or thoughts or anything you want to share about your own body positivity struggles or triumphs, call us.
While we're waiting for those calls, speaking of social media, I think, and it's the same with society, it's what you allow yourself to read or be surrounded by. You know, I always suggest that on Instagram and on Facebook, you know, you follow people that are going to lift you up, that are not going to bring you down, that are going to encourage you to be the best version of you. I don't watch the news. I don't follow people that are negative, or as we call them, negative Nancys or Debbie Downers, because life is too short, and they suck the life out of you whether you try or without you knowing.
Right.
So staying away from that and surrounding yourself with that positivity helps.
Absolutely.
Tenfold.
And when you're bummed out and you feel bad and you feel overwhelmed or not good enough or just something bad and painful and difficult, you're also more likely to turn to food for comfort. And that's why, you know, I say the it's not what you're eating that's really the problem, it is what's eating at you. And when you can feel better and learn how to comfort yourself in a different way and respond to yourself in a different way, then you feel good and you don't need food to go numb, for comfort, for distraction, any of those things.
Food, alcohol, drugs, I've been there, done that, all of them, to numb the pain or to have me be, funny enough, I think the drunk Christy is actually the person that I am every day now. The happy, confident, you know, most people say, oh, I need a few more drinks to go onto the dance floor or to ask that girl for a dance or ask for her number or even to talk to her. Mm-hmm. I'm that person all the time now without the alcohol and food. You know, my husband and I were only speaking about it yesterday, you know, how we have changed together as well, that we used to indulge in food all the time. And it would be to feel good, to reward ourselves. But we weren't really, like, the food we were choosing at the time wasn't actually really rewarding. It was maybe nice for the taste buds for that moment, but then what it was doing to the body and the ingredients we were putting in. Whereas nowadays it's like, you know, we want the fresh juices. We want the organic products. We want, you know, lean meals. We don't want it covered in gravy or sauces and things like that. You know, we don't want that fried food. We actually, our bodies and our minds are actually loving together and actually wanting to fuel our bodies with goodness.
I guess when you love the skin you are in, you want to take good care of your body. And, you know, I often have seen people do things like, I could never give my child this, but I'll eat it. You know, like, how come you can have it and then feel bad about yourself for eating it, but God forbid your child should have something, you know, with preservatives and sugar and corn syrup and all of that. And somehow there's this idea of that you can nurture the people you love, but you have to be one of the people you love.
Yes.
And so I see a lot of people who take very good care of other people, both with food and with, you know, emotionally, and they can be supportive and wonderful, but when it comes to themselves, it's a whole other story.
That used to be me. I'd put everyone first. And my mission in life is to help every person that I come in contact with, for them to love the skin they are in. Because if I could just touch them and magically they feel the way that I feel each and every day, the world would be a better place. But realistically, there is so much baggage in people's minds and their heart and inside that they need to deal with. And although I don't have that medical background and things like that, I have a life experience as a woman in those deep, dark places and those negative places. And it still rises its ugly head every now and again. But with the food, I find, you know, some people, mostly mums, will feel that they are guilty if they put themselves first. Like, no, honey, we need to, you know, take the dog for a walk, or mum needs to go to the gym first and then we'll go and do this. And I feel, and, you know, my husband actually encourages me to get out the door, go and do that walk or go and do that hike or go to the gym, because he knows that he gets a better version of me after I have done that, and same with my children. So I no longer feel guilty for doing that. Putting myself first allows my children, my family, my friends, my husband to have the best version of me.
Yeah, it's like it's such a trite example because it's really overused, but it's so perfect. You were just in a plane, so I'm sure that when they said, hey, parents, if the oxygen masks drop, put it on yourself. Do not put it on your children, because your children are no good, you know, are not going to do well if you have no oxygen. You're no good to anybody if you don't have oxygen. And so figuring out metaphorically what your oxygen is so vital, because you can't... As the saying goes, an empty vessel cannot serve.
No. And again, you know, the fill your cup first.
Yeah.
You know, there's many sayings, and I'm like, yes, every time I see someone use that. And speaking of planes and flight attendants, how that has changed over the years. You know, you used to see the size
Barbies.
Model. Yes.
Barbie.
And the most real women I have seen in these travels over the last 2 weeks. And it's just like, love that. Yes.
Right, because, you know, real women are all shapes and sizes and heights, and men too. You know, there's no one way that you're supposed to have a body. And I think that's kind of part of your message, which is, you know, there's no one way. The media may say, hey, it's this. This is how you're supposed to look. And that, luckily, that's changing. But your message really is love the skin you're in, in whatever shape it is. Mm. And that actually leads to health.
Exactly. Yeah. If you're not healthy, if you're not happy, you're not healthy. But you can be healthy in all different shapes and sizes. It's exactly that. You know, it used to be growing up that there was that stereotype that, you know, if you're not that kind of size, you're not healthy.
Right.
Whereas now we have marathon runners that are all different sizes, then they don't fit in that box because there isn't a box.
There isn't a box. And I saw people crossing the finish line at mile 39.3 of all sizes, all weights, all
beautiful
ages. In fact, the oldest person who did the walk was 84 years old.
Ooh.
Like, amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's all in the mind.
Absolutely. Well, yes, you're talking to a psychoanalyst. I agree. It is all in the mind. So, listeners, please join our conversation and say hi to Christy. 818-602-4929. And you're welcome to talk about whatever is on your mind that has to do with, you know, having a more loving attitude towards yourself, your body, you know, your spirit, and your life.
Absolutely. So speaking of having to remind myself, not long ago, I think it was only 2 weeks ago, that I do love the skin that I am in. We had to go shopping. And I don't do that often. I'm not one of those girly girls, as we would call it. My husband's obviously male, my sons, two boys, and even the dogs outweigh me as well. So I'm the only female. We do have a female dog now, but so it's always been me, just me. So rarely would I go shopping. Anyway, we had to go shopping for the trip because you always go shopping before you go on holidays, right?
Of course you do. And then you go shopping when you're on holidays.
Yes, yes. And I actually had my dad with us, my husband, and our two sons. And first shop we walk into, my husband finds what he's looking for. Don't we all wish we could do that, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I did actually whisper, I hate you. when he found exactly what he was looking for. Me, I lost count of different shops. And as we were talking before, I tried on all different sizes. And after three shops and no success, I did actually have to have some self-talk in my head. I love my body. I love my body. I love my body. Because if I didn't do that, all of those things around you, you know, why are you not finding something that's fitting you? Why are you not fitting into anything there? You know, what's wrong with you? There's nothing wrong with me. It's the clothes.
Yes, that's right. And by the way, anybody with any kind of size has that experience.
Exactly.
People make assumptions. I'm tall, I'm thin, I'm the person that, you know, people think has no problem going in and finding something to wear. But you know what? I have the same problem.
Put a dress on and it looks like a top.
It can look terrible. So no matter what, you have that problem. It's not about when I lose weight, then everything I wear will be perfect. When I lose weight, then my life will be perfect.
If I wake up in the morning, you don't know what tomorrow is going to bring.
Right.
So don't sweat the small stuff. Life is too short. There is so much life to live out there that if you actually leave all that aside, which I'm so pleased that I have done in the last 6 years, and it gets better each day. You know, you no longer look at somebody and go, oh, I wish I had those long legs. I wish I could wear a midriff top. If you love it, own it. And that's what I love when I meet somebody that you just connect with, because you've got that vibe. You know, it's like, I want to be around that person. And people might say, you know, well, you know, describe that person. Oh my gosh, you know, she's loud, she's got crazy hair, and she's got, you know, this energy about her. And majority of people won't even go into my appearance or my size.
We don't say, well, you know what, I really see that skinny girl over there? I can't wait to be her friend. You know, or I'd like my friends so much better if they lost weight or anything like that. Mm. So, you know, I find that a lot of people struggle with the when, then. Mm. Like, when I lose weight, then these aspects of my life are going to be better. When I lose weight, I'll find a guy. When I lose weight, I'll find a girl. Mm. When I lose weight, I'll get a different job, or I'll go back to school, or I'll, you know, this when, then. And I think that one of the difficult things for people is to give up the illusion that by changing your weight, you can change your life. Mm. And it is a lovely illusion. Because it's so powerful. Wow, if I just lose weight, I can have what I want. Wouldn't that be nice?
That would be nice, but realistically, that's not necessarily the case. I'm working with some ladies at the moment that are actually the opposite of that, that they're actually struggling to put on weight. And me saying that, I can imagine what the listeners are thinking, oh, wow, I wish that was a problem. And I understand that, because that is just so rare that people say that out loud, because they will be criticized. It's more common for someone to say, oh, I wish I could lose a few pounds, or I wish I could lose a few kilos, if you're in Australia. Yeah. But yes, you know, and that person is going through the same things that people that are losing weight or trying to lose weight or thinking that they need to lose weight. Like, why is it that they feel that they need to lose weight?
Exactly.
You know, what is it, because they're being told? Is it because their clothes are a bit tighter? You know, look at what your lifestyle, you know, are you treating your body with kindness every single day? Or are you filling it with unnatural products every day? That's what you really need to think of. You know, look at the big picture and don't just concentrate on the scales. If you have scales in your house, I actually say throw them out.
I did a video a couple of years ago, and it's called Smash the Scale.
Yes.
If you want to look at it, it's on the Dr. Nina Show on YouTube. Mm. Just a little plug. And I like take a hammer and I just destroy the scale.
Ooh.
And it was very satisfying, I must say. So, yeah, I have not weighed myself. I can't remember last time I weighed myself. I don't weigh myself. If I go to the doctor's office and they're like, go on the scale, I'm like, no. I don't do the scale. I'm scale-free. And it's very liberating, because I don't want some number on the scale to even infiltrate my brain and make, because I don't want to think about it.
I've had to actually get on the scales 3 times this year, two of them because I donate blood and they need to know how much blood they can take from your body. So they said, oh, how much do you weigh? I said, you know what? I don't know. And they're like looking at me. What? So I stood on the scales and I said, oh, can you read that? And I, oh, damn it. I looked down at it and I'm like, do you know what though? I'm fine with that because that's just a number. That's what I had told myself in my head. And then again, I donated plasma, so I had to get on the scales again. But we went to the Grand Canyon, and I do love how subtle it is. We were going on a small aircraft and a helicopter, so they need to know your weight to be able to know where to put you in the plane and things, right? Mm-hmm. But it was almost like a cubicle, and on your side, it's just like, it'd be like taking Zane to the vets. There's just that silver square and you stand on it.
Oh.
I could not actually see what the scale said. It comes up on their screen. That is the kind of scale that I think the doctors and everywhere that requires you for whatever purposes to weigh yourself has. Because then it's not, I want to say the F word, doesn't F with your brain.
Say it. We're on internet radio. It doesn't, can say whatever the fuck you want.
It doesn't fuck with your mind because that's sometimes the biggest thing, you know. We are always told that, you know, oh my gosh, even going to the gym. I actually enjoy going to the gym now, but when you go for that first time, it's like, okay, so what are your goals here? And they do the pinch test. They do the BMI test. And I look at the scale, or they look at the, you have to get on the scale and they look, and it's like, oh, according to the scale, don't worry about that though. Like they say that before they say the next thing, and then they look at what your chart is, and apparently I was morbidly obese. And I'm like, what? That is insane. And I look at that and I'm like, that, if I was not good with this, would just have me go, okay, I'm going to go outside now and I'm going to just go and eat myself into, you know, chocolate and soda or whatever it is that your vice was. Instead, it was like, that doesn't even make sense. And that's another reason why I love our doctor back home. He's like, oh, don't even worry about that. He goes, you are the healthiest I've ever seen you, and you're happy and healthy.
I think you need to clone your doctor and send him many versions of him all over
that.
The world, because yes, we need more doctors like that.
Yes.
Yeah.
There are some here. I do know them. You are one of them.
Oh, well.
And there are many others that I work with here in the States just for this reason. It's that, yeah.
Yeah, because
all in the mind and body connection.
It is. And the way, it's what's weighing on you, right? It's not what you weigh, it's what's weighing on you. And when you can deal with those things, what's bothering you, what's upsetting you, often people decide to attack themselves, and they get mad at themselves. Oh, I can't believe I ate that. I can't believe I weigh that. And they really just beat themselves up and are very harsh to themselves. Mm-hmm. And I sometimes say, well, if you were not being so harsh to yourself, who or what would you be mad at? And then they'll say, well, my boss, but I can't be mad at my boss, or my husband, but I can't be mad at my husband. You know, so,
yeah. Is it
but
yours,
you are.
Is it yours to weigh? Is it yours to carry on your back or in your heart or in your gut or in your mind? His name's escaped me at the moment, but a little story that I think can relate to both personal and professional life. That if you're at home and your most important documents in your home are normally in a filing, in a safe, perhaps in a locked office that's in a locked house, how would you feel if somebody broke into your house, into your office, and into your safe and pooped all over your important documents? How would you feel?
Pretty shitty.
Boom.
It was there. I couldn't help
exactly.
it.
Exactly. So if you think of that, when someone, or you read something, you watch something, you hear something, you're letting them poop on your files in your own filing cabinet in your brain.
Yeah. That's a good way to think about
it. I know. And I'm like, I wish I could plug him right now, but I thank whoever said that, because I've heard it over and over again now, and I'm like, that is so true. Why do you allow that to stay in your head? Does it deserve that time and energy that you give it every day?
And are you the person who's pooping on your own mind, your own files?
Or others, yes. You know, with the Debbie Downers and the negative Nancys. You know, do you want, you know, if you speak, what is it that you speak of all the time? If you've got nothing nice to say, don't say anything at all. So, you know, I challenge anyone listening that try. How long can you speak only of positive and think only of positive? And make a note and see how your world changes. Yeah. It's a beautiful thing because, yeah, if we walk away or politely shut off when the negative Nancys and the Debbie Downers are around us, because I'm better than that. I don't deserve to take that on.
And being negative, by the way, we have a caller, so let me hold my own thought. Hold on. Hi, caller. You're on with Dr. Nina and Christy. Who's this?
Yeah. Hi. This is Larry from Burbank. How are you doing?
Hi, Larry from Burbank.
You know, I have to mention that I have advanced degrees in pooping all over my mind for about a half century. So that's a great analogy. You know, it's a good way to remember that that's not the best way to live.
No, it's not. So are you going to take us up on the challenge to see positivity?
Yeah, I mean, all of that sounds really, really good. Really does. I do have a story, actually, that's in no way, it's just related to my own experience. If I can run that by you, it's sort of a nice breakthrough with some footnotes and questions involved.
Absolutely. I should say, Christy, that Larry from Burbank is a regular caller, so
welcome.
Please tell us your story, Larry.
Sure. Last Thursday, I, long story short, did a very difficult hike/climb into the High Sierras. Got up to about 12,000 feet, and there were some spots where, you know, you fall, you're going to be bouncing for quite a while.
Oof.
But, you know, I made it up there fine, and on the way down, I ran out of gas. My blood sugar fell out, and my legs just turned to slabs of beef, and my old thought patterns of, I am pooping in my mind now, and if I can make it down alive, I'm going to just poop all over my psyche all the way down. That's just been my pattern. And I found myself talking out loud to myself all the way down, coaching myself, don't step on that rock, it's loose, take that one step, good, do this, good, you know, avoid that route, you can break your neck in the middle of nowhere, good. And I and in doing that, I aligned myself with my inner child, and we nurtured each other down this very difficult trail together. And during that time, it led to some breakthroughs and memories I hadn't had for a long time, and some tears. We stopped and wept about stuff, and you know, it was with kind of the juxtaposition or the opposite of having missed all of that nurturing for so long. We began nurturing each other through this challenge. It was great, and I wrote about it when I got back. My trouble is continuing in that vein during my day-to-day life. I've been told that my issue isn't a question of can't process this stuff, by stuff meaning my past, or I won't. I did, obviously, in this case, but keeping that ball rolling during the normal week is my challenge now. So that is my story, and I'm sticking to it.
Well, first of all, that's very moving, and it's wonderful that you were able to kind of conjure up or access that supportive, nurturing part of you that has been so mute for so long. So maybe, I mean, I want to hear what Christy has to say, but I would suggest that you make a parallel between coming down that mountain of 12,000 feet and just living day to day, that where you were literally stepping and encouraging yourself at every step. Why don't you figuratively encourage yourself at every step?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a great, I mean, the analogy sort of presented itself through the challenge. And I've even thought about continuing to say aloud what I'm doing to nurture myself through any given moment which sort of dovetails nicely with mindfulness meditation I've gotten involved in. I may look a little crazy, you know, Larry talking to himself while he's brushing his teeth, but it'll keep that little kid with me, so to speak, who has been ignored, as I say, for a half century plus.
Well, I'm so glad that you found the inner child when you really needed it. That's definitely the mind-body connection working well there. And I'm quite, to a lot of people, I'm described as quite bold or blunt. And, you know, we haven't even spoken about my childhood because it's not, that's not irrelevant in this conversation. But what I would say to you is it serving you? Is it worth your time and energy? And what is it getting you in life to hold on to it and allow it time and energy and pain, by the sounds of it, each and every day?
I mean, it allows my dad, who was the abuser, to be right. And the insight that that is the case is worth nothing unless I process it myself and realize, I guess, each challenge that, who am I going to listen to? The guy who was too weak to be a father, or the one who can do that now, myself?
So you have the power, you have the control within you, and it sounds like you've already found it once. So
yeah, I mean, that's a nice thing. It was a nice touchstone up in the mountains.
Yeah, and the good news is that you found it when you needed it. So if you need that every single day, then allow that child to speak to your inner voice and in, you know, in your inner thoughts, because I don't actually listen to the child within me, because otherwise I would still be in that deep dark spot. So instead, I listen to the young woman that I was when I found was I still am a young woman, 39 years young. What am I talking about? But you hear that and you listen to it, and how good did it feel when you were talking to that person and listening to that person that was taking care of you as you got your way back down that mountain?
Well, you know, instead of suffering through negative self-talk and going to places that had nothing to do with the mountain, I stayed present and I was sort of hugging myself all the way down, one step at a time.
Beautiful.
And it turned what could have been yet another disaster of my own making into a nice breakthrough that I'd like to continue.
Absolutely. So, yes, talk to, welcome, good morning, good evening, good night, whatever you need to say to that inner child to keep them live and active and in your mind. But, yeah, anyone that has hurt or harmed you in your life does not deserve your time or energy or for you to spend another moment reliving or experiencing any of that ever again.
Sure. I've heard it said, and you had the scatological filing cabinet analogy. I've heard it said, if anybody I resent has free rent in my head.
Yeah. Let them out. What do you say? Evacuate, not evacuate, evict them.
Evict them.
Yeah.
But also keep in mind that, again, it's not logical, it's psychological, so it's not logical to keep an internal sort of bad, mean voice within you. But if that's your way of staying unconsciously connected to a dead parent, then you can understand it and then give it up. Like, understand where it comes from and mourn what you didn't get from that parent as you just give more and more power to that supporter and nurturer that you discovered on this hike. I guess it's more than a hike. It sounds like an ordeal.
Yes.
A trek.
Yeah, it was a climb.
Climb.
I could even say, you know, in dialogue that, you know, Dad couldn't do this. He wasn't able to. So just know that and let's do this together. So as the seesaw of I've heard it said, you can die one tiny slice, a thousand tiny cuts. I could maybe reemerge 1,000 tiny affirmations or whatever. And as that goes up, the anger at my dad can go down in the same way.
Absolutely. Larry, thank you so much for sharing your story. And I'm again, it's very moving talking to you every week and hearing how you're developing a kinder, I guess you're loving the skin you're in. And I'm going to grab this next call, but thank you again and keep up the good work.
I will do that. Thank you very much.
Bye. Hi, caller. This is Dr. Nina with Christy Carney. Who's this?
This is Nick.
Hi, Nick.
Hi. I don't know what the show is about because my computer, the whole show, volume was muffled and I couldn't understand anything. But I did, could hear in the background that Larry from Burbank was just on.
Yes, he was.
Is that correct?
That is correct. We're on with Christy Carney, who is a body image, body positivity activist from Australia. And she's been talking about her own experience from sort of self-hatred to self-love. And she has a Facebook group and a kind of a movement called Love the Skin You Are In.
You mean they have body images problems in Australia, too?
Everywhere. Every single inch of this planet has body image issues.
Unfortunately.
Yeah, really unfortunately. Well, that's very interesting. So I missed about what you got to say, I guess. Well, I'm hoping that when I turn it on, I wanted to make sure I got there before you were off. And I'll definitely listen to the show. Hopefully the volume works, but body imaging, that's everything. I mean, as people every day, they look in a mirror. We're talking about, isn't it?
Yeah. What about you? How does? And unfortunately, we only have a few minutes left in the show. So I want to invite you to share what because often people think that body image is something that only women deal with, and as we know on the show, no, it's if you're human, you deal with it. So what are your body image struggles?
It's thrived from being a child and being a fat kid, and in high school being a fat kid. It's there. It's there. I work really hard on it and get myself not to worry about it, but it's always there. You know, I'm always working on it. It's always there, and it's a terrible feeling. What you look like or what you feel you look like. And, you know, I've come to a point where I don't look like I looked in high school. I mean, I was, you know, I always think of myself as a fat boy. I mean, I was when I was a young kid and growing up. And even I had a reunion. I don't know if I got a minute to say this.
You did?
I went to my 50th year reunion.
Wow.
It was amazing. I said, oh, I got to go see people. And I went. I had a wonderful, wonderful time. Yeah, I wished it had never end. And so many people there. And I said, Nicky, you're the unbelievable. You lost half yourself. You lost half yourself. And because I keep my weight down, I mean, I feel I look good, but I for a long time now, I mean, a real long time, I've kept my weight down, but I hadn't seen those people in 50 years, and they looked like, they were amazed. They were confirming I did look like a fat kid.
But you know, I was
a heavy kid.
But you were still had friends. But you still had all these friends, so even though you felt bad about yourself, look at all the friends you had that 50 years later remember you and we're glad to see you from the sound of it. So that says that whoever you are as a person outweighs, so to speak, you know, whatever you weigh and the shame of being the fat kid, as you put it. Nick, I am so sorry, but we are almost out of time on the show, so I've got to run, but I'm so glad that you called in without even knowing what we were talking about.
Funny. Okay, well, I'm glad I called, and thank you so much, and I'll talk to you next week.
Thanks, Nick. Talk to you next week.
Okay. Bye-bye.
I love my regular callers. So, Christy, we're almost out of time. Is there anything that you want to impart, that you want to share, or do you want to just tell people how they can reach you?
Sure. So it's advertised, I think, on the program and things like that, the spelling of my name, Christy Carney. But if you do a search, I have a group, a support group of such, called Love the Skin You Are In.
On Facebook,
yes. And on Instagram, but again, it's just the spelling of my name that apparently on radio it's not easy to find. But my mission, my goal for every single person out there is to really think about everything that you're going through, all that shit that's running through your head perhaps. Is it worth it? Is it doing you justice? Is it doing you good, or is it holding you back? Because I don't think everyone doesn't deserve to be held back. They deserve to be living life and not existing anymore and just enjoying it, because life is too short. You don't know what tomorrow's going to bring.
Yeah, that's a beautiful and inspirational way for us to end the show. Thank you so much, Christy Carney from Love the Skin You Are In, for being here with us. I'm here every Wednesday at 10 a.m. Pacific here on LA Talk Radio to give you the skinny on weight loss without dieting. I will see you next week.
Bye.
Bye.
You're listening to the Dr. Nina Show.
You're listening to Dr. Nina Savelle Rockland.
With Dr. Nina Savelle on LA Talk Radio.
Only on LA Talk Radio.
Start your own radio show now and join our amazing radio family of fun and interesting talent. Be the radio star you've always wanted to be. Visit LATalkRadio.com or email info@LATalkRadio.com now and start your own show today.
Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.